Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Thanks, everybody. And hey there, Next Level. It's great to be here today. What an honor it is. I have been a big fan of this church for a long time. I'm also a big fan of your pastor, Rob Shepherd. And by the way, today is his birthday, so Rob, wherever you're at, however you might be watching or listening, happy birthday. Enjoy some cake for me. And absolutely. In his honor today, I live in Williamsburg. I drove in listening to DC Talk Jesus Freak album because I know he loves that. So happy birthday to Rob. Well, I never will forget the day in fifth grade that I was called down to the principal's office. Have you ever had that experience when you were little, being called to the principal's office? And of course, I had some trouble back in elementary, and when I heard I had to go down the hallway, I thought to myself, okay, what have I done now? This might not go well. And I can still remember grabbing that hall pass from my teacher and walking down that long hallway, the Green Mile, to the principal's office. Mr. Vines, he was a nice guy. But as I sat down on that chair across from his desk, I had no idea what he was about to say. He looked at me and said the last thing I ever expected. He said, "Hey, Brian, we want you to be Santa Claus." I didn't see that one coming. I said, "Excuse me?" He goes, "You know, every year we have our Christmas play here at Grove Park Elementary School, and I've talked to your teacher, other teachers, and I've agreed that you should be the Santa Claus in this year's December Christmas play here at Grove Park Elementary. Now, I want you to understand that it requires a lot of lines that you have to memorize. You've got to come to a couple of months of practices every afternoon, but don't give me your answer now. Go home and talk it over with your parents, and then let me know tomorrow." Of course, I just nodded my head, "Okay, thank you so much." And as I left his office, number one, I thought, "Thank you, Lord, that I'm not in trouble." And number two, ain't no way I'm doing that Santa Claus part. Forget, that's too much work. So even as I was walking back to my class, I had already begun to devise what I was going to talk to my parents about that night when I had to tell them. And I came up with an airtight plan. And that night, as we sat around the dinner table, I said, "Hey, this is what Mr. Vines wants me to do, but you know, I'm committed to a lot of sports teams, so that could be an issue. I take art classes after school 3 times a week, but most importantly, I'm afraid that if I were to agree to the Santa Claus part, you know, my academic pursuits might suffer. Don't think I can commit." Of course, my parents are like, "Yeah, whatever. You're only in fifth grade. Not a big deal yet. This is an honor that you've been chosen. You are going to do it." Okay. So I went back and agreed to do it, and then 2 months of practices every afternoon. Man, they had to strap 2 pillows on me because I was skinny as a rail back in those days, and the lines I had to memorize, there were just a ton of them, and they all rhymed. So if you mess up one line, you're really screwed up for the rest of the way. So I was real nervous about that, and then the big night came. Remember those big elementary school gathering nights? Some of you parents might be in that right now, but the whole school is there. Every grade is there. All my classmates on a riser singing songs. And when I walked out on that stage, I'd never seen that many people before. I mean, looking out on that gymnasium, the wooden stand, stairs all in the middle of the floor, it felt like 10,000 people were there. And I just swallowed hard and tried to do my lines, and somehow, by a miracle of God, I made it through. And I didn't forget any lines. And I remember when that curtain finally fell, I felt such a feeling of excitement and accomplishment. Now, sadly, I have to admit to you, I did not pursue acting for the rest of my life. Hollywood could have had all this, but that's the way it goes. I give Tom Cruise an opportunity. But I do remember the joy of following through with something that I was chosen to do, even though I didn't seek it. And here's another little story from that same time frame as we kind of get into a main point here in just a second. And there was a Sunday school teacher I had back around that same time frame. His name was Herman Webster. And Mr. Webster, for about 2 years, taught my Sunday school class when I was 7, 8 years old. And for the life of me, I never could understand why he would choose to volunteer for that role. Because 7 and 8 year old boys, when you're stuck in a little tiny classroom with concrete walls for an hour every Sunday morning, what was he thinking, right? And we were crazy, we were smelly, snot-nosed, always a little hyperactive, and we would get in there, and I don't know how he managed to teach us, but he did. And he taught us these incredible Bible stories about Moses and Noah and Abraham and Jesus on the cross and Paul the missionary, and somehow it stuck in me. But as I got older, I started thinking back to Mr. Herman Webster, thinking, wow, that dude, he could have chosen to do anything else on a Sunday morning. He was in his 60s. He had a big head of silver hair, warm smile. He could have done anything. He could have slept in every Sunday morning. He could have read the newspaper, had a cup of coffee. He could have met some of his buddies down at Hardee's for a sausage biscuit. He could have went on a boat, gone fishing every Sunday morning. But for whatever crazy reason, he chose to hang out with us crazy boys for 2 years, every week. And he made a difference in my life. He's now in heaven. But here it is, 45 years later. Yeah, I'm that old. 45 years later, and I'm still talking about him. The world doesn't know about him. As far as I know, he never made headlines, never made it onto a TV show. But his simple act of just showing up every Sunday morning and getting into that classroom and teaching us really shaped my life, my understanding of the Bible. And this brings us to what I think of as the big idea for the day. So let's put that on the screen and simply this right here. Remarkable things happen when just regular people do simple acts out of their love for God. That's just such an incredible thought when you stop and chew on it just for a moment. And you know something? If I think back to Mr. Webster, I think he had a secret. Number one, it was he just was willing to raise his hand and say, you know what, I'll do it. I'll teach that crazy class. But number two, if you pressed him a little bit, if you really tried to get this out of him, he would admit and say, you know what? Yeah, I volunteered to do it, but I really felt that God chose me to do it. That's why I had to say yes. I really believe he would say that. And this brings me to what I consider to be the word for the day, okay? Here's the word, one word for today, and that word is appoint. A-P-P-O-I-N-T, appoint. Now, what is a point? What is that all about? What does that even mean? Well, when I get my imagination rolling, when I think of the word appoint, I think of walking into this palace, going into the inner sanctum, and around the corner, here comes a king. And he's wearing a crown, he's got this flowing robe on, and he has this fancy sword in his hand. And as I kneel before this king, he takes that sword and taps each shoulder once, and then he says in his deep baritone regal voice, I appoint you, Brian, and then he gives me this great responsibility. That's what I think of when I hear the word appoint. It's a regal sounding word. And that's really not too far off from what the definition really means. Because to appoint someone means to grant them a responsibility for a specific purpose. Now, if we were to understand the word appoint in a biblical meaning, it would just simply be a divine assignment. When God appoints someone with a divine assignment. So to illustrate this, let's go to a story that I bet you've heard 1,000 times. And I'm not going to tell the whole story. I'm just going to hit a couple of quick points on it. And I probably first heard this story in Mr. Webster's Sunday school room all those years ago. But do you remember the story of Jonah and the well? Now, I don't know if it was a well or not. It says a big fish, but I'm going to call it a well. And this story, even though I've heard it a zillion times and read it a zillion times, I have to admit, I never really caught something this entire time about this. I always missed this little detail. And take a look at this first scripture here from Jonah. You remember this, Jonah 1:17, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Okay, stop there for a second. The Lord did what? He appointed a great big fish. Okay, that's interesting to me that the Lord, they had to use that language in Scripture. The Lord appointed. Okay, I'll go with that. If you keep on reading the story of Jonah, and by the way, if you're not familiar with the story, read it sometime this week. It's a short book. You can read it in like 10 minutes. But if you look later into the story, we see something else interesting because Jonah went through a depression. And he was having a little pity party underneath the tree. And then we come to this next section, Jonah 4:6, that says, "Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shade over his head." Let's continue. Next part of that verse. "But when dawn came up the next day, God did what? He appointed a worm." You ever catch that before? "That attacked the plant so that it withered." And I think we have one more part of this. Jonah 4:8. "And when the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind." Notice all these things that God is appointing. "And the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint." Okay, whoa. Now, even if I'm just a casual Bible reader, I have to pay attention to the repetition of the word appoint or appointment. Because we see that God appointed a fish, and he appointed a plant, and he appointed a worm, and he appointed the wind, all to accomplish His purposes. There were divine assignments. So I have to look at this story and learn that God not only appoints people, but He appoints all created things. God is an appointer. He has a divine purpose to what He's doing among us with people and things. So this kind of got me curious. I'm like, how did I miss this all these years, right? So let me take a look in some other parts of Scripture and see where else we see this word appoint, and take a look at this. There's something we see in Mark chapter 3, verse 14. Jesus, remember the disciples? Jesus did what? He appointed 12. Now, I could have said any other word there, but oddly enough, it says he appointed 12. Well, then if you look in a little farther down in Scripture, John 15:16, very famous chapter here, John 15. "I chose you," Jesus says, "and appointed you," speaking to believers, "that you should go and bear fruit." Okay, I'm starting to see this appointment thing. And then one more I want to show you. And this is from Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. "He," the Father, "has spoken to us by His Son, Jesus, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world." Okay. Do you see a pattern here? For key scriptural truths, we're seeing this word appoint show up over and over again. And it comes to mind that God's purpose flows through His appointments. God's purpose comes through His purpose for your life, through His appointment to your life. So this obviously brings a million-dollar question. If you're not wondering, I sure am. How in the world do we discover God's unique appointment for our lives? Or let me rephrase it to make it singular. Do you know God's appointment for your life? You might think, well, okay, how do I even begin to figure out what that is? Here's a little bit of a hint. This is not brain surgery, folks, but here's a hint of how you can discover God's appointment for you. Always look for how to serve someone else. Because God's appointment is always connected to service. Even though we look at Jonah, we see how this well was in service to God. How a plant, how a worm, how a wind was all in service to someone, to Jonah. So your God-given appointment has to do with putting a white towel over your arm and being ready and willing to serve, just like Herman Webster did in serving my Sunday school class. Where do you see an opportunity to serve? Where are your God-given talents connecting to the needs that are around you? That's a critical question. So over the years, and I begin to think back about this as I started looking at this word appoint, I started thinking of examples that I've seen through the lives of other people that I know of how God's appointment has been at work. And I thought about this one guy. He told me one time that he wanted to be a drummer in a church worship team. But the only little caveat was he had never played drums before. And he said, but I want to learn. So I listened to him the very first time as he played. And how can I put this nicely? He was terrible. Obviously, he had never played a drum set before. But this guy, he would work his Navy job during the day, and in the afternoon, he would come to the church and say, hey, can I just play in the sanctuary? And week after week after week, month after month, he would work on his drumming. He'd have headphones on and just start playing, and he got to be incredible. I just watched this transformation. He became incredible. An opportunity arose for him to be the drummer on the worship team, and he served there for years and did an amazing job. I think if you were to press him, he would say, you know what, as crazy it seems, God chose me to play drums. It was his appointment. I know of another lady, she was in her 90s, and she was pretty much only could be in her house because of her health issues. But she said, but I got to do ministry. I can't not do ministry even though I can't leave my house. So she started a phone counseling ministry for younger women. So if any woman had just been married, a newlywed, or had children and felt overwhelmed with life, with marriage, with whatever, she would say, please call me. And they would call, and she would just download this amazing wisdom to these ladies. And I heard for years how these young women said, wow, she has really blessed my life. She helped me through crazy seasons through that phone call ministry of hers. I think if you were to press that 90-year-old woman, she'd say, you know, God chose me to do that. I know of another guy, he was retired, and he had a bus driver's license. And instead of just staying at home and watching TV all afternoon, he said, you know what, I want to volunteer my bus driving opportunities. And literally for 10 years or more, he volunteered with our church's children's and youth department. And he drove these kids all over God's green earth to camps and retreats and outreaches and fun things. He did it just to do it and to serve. And I watched him for over 10 years do this. I had another example of a guy, he was in his maybe young 20s. He loved superhero movies. He looked like a superhero. He had arms the size of tree trunks. This guy was huge, but he loved his superhero movies, Iron Man and all those, Batman and everything. And he started, believe it or not, a superhero movie viewing night once or twice a month. He would invite all these people for pizza, food. They'd watch these movies, and then afterwards, they'd have a theological discussion on the biblical points that they found in the movies. This little small group blossomed into dozens of teens and 20-somethings who would come, and they would talk about the Bible, God, and theology into the wee hours of the night. It became one of the great ministries that our church saw. I think if you were to press him, he would have said, hey, I love superhero movies, but you know, God chose me to take that passion and turn it into serving other people. But maybe my favorite story of all is Bob and Liz. And they live down in Norfolk, near the Five Points area of Norfolk, if anybody's familiar with that. And they're in the Five Points area of Norfolk. It's known for being a lot of poverty and a lot of hunger issues and homelessness. Again, Bob and Liz, they were retired. They're probably in their 70s at this point. But they were bothered by all the hungry people that they saw. So out of their own accord, they went to the food bank and their station wagon and filled it up with food. And they brought it back to a parking lot. And they told some people about it, and they began to feed the hungry right out the back of their car. Well, soon it continued to grow, and one car wasn't enough. They enlisted some of their friends. They had several cars there filled with food. Out of their own pocket, they bought this food, and they began to feed more and more people. This continued to multiply until they finally came to the church and said, "Hey, do you mind if we use the fellowship hall of the church? And if we could use a church van or two, we could really grab a lot of food." And so we were quick to say, "Yes, do it, go for it." And in short time, there was an army of volunteers. There must have been 10 or 12 different vehicles used to collect all this food from the food bank, bring it back, and then they would put it out on tables in this fellowship hall. When you walked in, it looked like the Walmart Supercenter. All this food everywhere. And people would come by the hundreds. Every Tuesday and Thursday, we'd call it TNT, Tuesday and Thursday, just being touched by this ministry. A couple other little things. They began to ask pastors in the area to come and speak and give a devotion before they passed out the food. So pastors all over the area would come and share the gospel. I watched two volunteers who would pass out food. They got to know each other. They'd never met each other before, but they fell in love. And they requested that their wedding ceremony happen during one of those TNT outreach days, which we were happy to oblige. Bob and Liz, they're both in heaven now. But I think if you were ever to talk to them, they would say, "You know, we did this because deep down somewhere, we really felt God chose us to do this." I want you to think about those stories, and I bet you have some too. You know, whether it be playing drums or driving a bus or having a phone ministry, whether it be feeding people out of the back of your car, God to this day still appoints people to do things out of their love for Him. It's still happening. We see it in Jonah all the way up to 2022. God still is in the business of appointments. Now, I know this is the area sometimes we hear this. If you're like me, I can justify anything sometimes. We think, that sounds great. I'm busy. Don't have it in my schedule. This is too much to think about. I don't know how to pull this thing off. And we make excuses. And some of the key excuses, because I've said them myself, are, "You know what? I'm not qualified." Or, "I don't have a degree to do X, Y, Z." Or, "You know, I don't know of someone who would endorse me." Listen, you don't necessarily need a pastor to endorse what you're going to do. You don't need a Bible degree. You don't need to have deep Bible knowledge. You don't need to be a veteran Christian for 50 years to start something that God tells you to do. It just simply comes down to, "Yes, I'm going to do it because I feel that God's chosen me to do it. Little old me. I don't deserve it. I don't know why He would appoint me, but I feel like He has, and I got to do it." So when I think back to when I was in college, I felt, I think, for the first time, God's appointment over my life. I probably didn't use that word back then. I didn't think of it in terms of God's appointment. But I felt something happening within me, that unique God move, for lack of a better way of describing it. And it started with me with a calling for children and teenagers. I really had a passion to reach out and to help and disciple children and teenagers. So I started being a camp counselor, and I became a youth pastor and a children's pastor, and would find myself just doing all these things to help youth, and it just was an incredible season in my life. And then April 1995 happened. I bet you remember this. Even if you weren't alive, I know that you've heard of this. There was a bombing in Oklahoma City. Remember that? 1995 Oklahoma City bombing. And I don't know if some of you know about this picture. I'm not going to put it on the screen because it might be too triggering. But there was a picture in the rubble of that building that had been blown up of a firefighter who found a little one-year-old girl bloodied She had been killed in that explosion. And someone caught a picture of this firefighter holding this one-year-old precious little girl in his arms, looking down at her, and you see all this devastation around. And when I saw that picture, it grabbed my heart. And I felt as if God was appointing me even further in that moment to say, these kids, these teens, I want you to go and rescue them just like you see this man who was trying to rescue this child. So I took some scissors and I cut it out. That's back when we still had newspapers being delivered to our house. And we cut that out and put it on my wall where it stayed for like 2 years, this picture. And every day I would look at it and it would just remind me of that appointment. Even as I've gotten ready for this message today, you have to admit that in this current season, I feel like I've kind of veered away a little bit from that original appointment. And it's like God tugging at my heart again to get back to that original appointment of kids and teens again. And I think for this next season, there's going to be a lot of effort on my part back in that area again. Here's the thing, whatever your appointment might be, no matter what age it might be to, the key is trying to mix it into your regular schedule. It doesn't have to be something huge, but it needs to be a step in the direction of what God has chosen you to do. And let that just be a part of your regular weekly routine. Again, coming back to my Sunday school teacher, it just became part of his routine that every Sunday morning at 9:45, he would be with us boys down there in that basement classroom. It became a part of his life. And I have found the ministries that are the most successful are the ones where you just let it be a part of your regular life. Just let it flow out of your weekly schedule. So, I want to ask you a few questions. And this is what I want you to do, if you'll humor me with this. Would you pull out, because I'm assuming most everybody has a smartphone on them right now, would you pull out your phone? Or if you don't have a phone, pull out a piece of paper and a pen. And I want you to open your notes app or your email, or whatever note, or whatever you like to use, okay? Just humor me just for a second on this. And I want you to try to answer these questions that can be a revealer of God's appointment in your life. Let's look at the slide. First thing I want you to try to answer, and just put something down. Don't leave a blank screen. Just give it your best shot. No one else has to see it. You can make edits to it later. What makes you angry? What makes you angry? I think it starts with this. Because there is something called a righteous anger. Bob and Liz, when they saw all the homelessness and the hunger in Norfolk, it made them angry. And that stirred something within. What makes you angry? Secondly, what ministry can you do to help fix that problem that's making you so angry? Are you seeing kids and teens grow up and they don't even know anything of the Bible? Maybe that makes you angry and you want to do something about it. Do you see a worship team that needs another musician? Maybe that makes you angry that there's not enough people and you want to be a part. And we could give a zillion different other examples. What kind of ministry can you do to help fix what's making you angry? And then thirdly, who are the people you would serve by doing that? What's the age group? What do they look like? Where do they live? Again, when you begin to think of the appointment of God, you begin to think through these questions, you'll begin to see in more clarity what God has uniquely chosen you to do. And call me crazy, but I feel that everyone, every believer especially, has an appointment. And if we cannot answer, if someone were to say, hey, now I know people don't ask this question usually, but let's just play with it. If someone were to come up to you and say, hey, what did God appoint you to do? And if you can't answer that question, I just want to ask in a very friendly way, why don't you know that? It seems like it's a pretty important question to answer, don't you think? This seems like basic Christianity 101. So if we can't answer these simple questions, maybe we need to get to work. And again, don't worry if whatever God's chosen you to do has to start small. The best things start small. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. I remember when I was maybe a teenager, 12, 13, my granddad, he planted a tree by his driveway. And I remember when he planted that tree, it was like looking at the Charlie Brown Christmas tree. It was pathetic looking. It was all spindly and skinny and maybe 6 foot tall. I thought, this tree ain't never going to make it. And I was shocked that it lasted a year and kept on hanging on through the seasons. Fast forward. Last year, I traveled back to North Carolina where my grandparents had lived. They've passed on. Their house had been sold years ago. And I rode back down Everett Street. I said, I want to check out the old house again. And I pulled up and looked at the house, and all the memories came back. And then my eyes went to the driveway, and I did not see that little skinny tree anymore. Now what I saw took my breath away. It was the biggest tree in the neighborhood. It was so tall, you had to crane your neck to look at the top. Massive branches. It was incredible. And to me, it was just another little reminder. Start and trust the rest to God. Start small. It doesn't matter. Bob and Liz started with one station wagon and a little bit of food from the food bank, and they served it out the back, and it impacted over the years thousands and thousands of people. Herman Webster taught every Sunday morning, and it impacted me in an incredible way. Take a look again at our big idea, just to be a reminder. Remarkable things happen when regular people, just like us, do simple acts out of their love for God. So maybe today you're being called to the principal's office, and you're thinking, what am I being called to the principal's office for? Or maybe I can use better terminology. Maybe you're walking into the inner sanctum and a king comes around the corner. Not just any king, but the King of all kings. And he's got his crown on his head. And as you kneel before him, he takes that sword and taps your shoulder and says, I'm appointing you to do whatever God's appointed you to do. Lord, let this sink into us and let this sink into me. Can we pray together? Heavenly Father, even in spite of all of our missteps, our screw-ups, and our false starts, help us all to know our purpose by knowing our appointment. And may you birth in us, even in this setting, ideas and excitement about what we need to do next. And Lord, especially, help us to discover our divine appointment by first inviting your work as our great creator into our lives. So even as we pray, if you haven't opened your heart up to the one who made you and the one who has purpose for you, now is a perfect opportunity to say, God, come into my life and work. I don't know what all that means, but I invite you in. Please come in and direct my life. Jesus, may you receive all the honor and the glory and the praise from everything we do with every breath we take. And help us always to look through the filter of serving others. And we ask these things in your great and mighty name, the name of Jesus. And all God's people said together,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.